Welcome to the series of ICTJ podcasts. We are today speaking to the registrar of the Special Court for Sierra Leone, Binta Mansere. Welcome to ICTJ podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We are here at the Greentree Estate, where a high-level meeting on the principle of complementarity is taking place. And an element of this is lessons learned from different contexts where this principle has, in a way, been implemented. Sierra Leone is one of those contexts. And in the context of the impact the court has had on the society of Sierra Leone, what would you say are the main lessons that it has to offer to the world, or more specifically, what would you consider to be its major successes?
I would say the fact that this court was based in the country that where the crimes took place gave us a unique opportunity to interact with the larger society, an opportunity to develop an outreach program where you make the larger population be part of the international criminal justice process. If you're dispensing justice, transitional justice, you're doing it in the name of those who suffered. So they should be able to have the opportunity to be part of the process. So that's one. The next best practice that I think we can offer, again, is in the area of, capacity building, legacy. Because we're based in the country, we are able to work with institutions in the justice sector, where our impact is felt.
How important was, in your opinion, outreach to the implementation of Special Court's mandate? And what do you think are the lessons to be learned concretely by the International Criminal Court in this respect?
I cannot emphasize enough how important outreach is. Let me go back in time when the court was first established and started its operations. The perception that the court was a white man's court was there by opponents of transitional justice. We had to really develop programs, including posters all over the country, a publication, our community town hall meetings, to let the people of Sierra Leone understand the victims of the conflict. And that was extremely powerful, because once people saw that, they realized that, yes, this international justice we're talking about, this Special Court for Sierra Leone, is about what happened to us. It's about what happened to our children. The other area that outreach was extremely important was when we lost Fode Sanko. Fode Sanko was a household name. He was the war leader whom every Sierra Leonean remembered. We lost Fode Sanko before he even stood trial. People were so frustrated and angry. They say, why do you have the court? You might as well just pack up and go. Through outreach events, we were able to let people understand the broader objective of the Special Court, that it wasn't for just one individual. It was for anyone who fit the profile of bearing the greatest responsibility. That, again, I think was a defining moment in the history of that court, because it was either going to be a court just for the lawyers or a court that the victims could identify with. And in terms of the International Criminal Court, that's a complicated story. On top of the challenges facing the ICC, I've already seen that there are more challenges ahead in terms of outreach, for instance. If a decision is taken that Saif al-Islam should be transferred to the ICC, how do you explain that to the people of Libya? Right now, the perception of justice in Libya is very complicated. And yet you want to dispense justice, but outreach hasn't started there. And this is the right time for outreach. If you wait until it is too late, until a decision is taken by the ICC one way or the other, it becomes more difficult for you to handle.
Would you agree that the core issue here and the core issue facing ICC comes from this I would say, a misinterpretation of outreach as a public relations exercise rather than creating a true sense of ownership in communities that these institutions are supposed to serve.
Again, I'm not here to tell the ICC what to do, because I think they can run their own affairs, you know, better than I can ever recommend. But the way I want to answer your question, there is a significant philosophical difference between the way the Special Court does outreach and other institutions, including the ICC. Right from the onset, what we did in outreach, the vision of outreach was, this is a Special Court for Sierra Leone, established in the name of those who suffered during the war. So therefore, the process is theirs. So how can they own the whole process? And if you look at our mission statement, that is exactly what we set out to do. It wasn't for the Special Court to own the process, it was for the people of Sierra Leone to own the process.
Very clear. And if you could elaborate further on what has exactly been the role of Special Court for Sierra Leone in building national capacity to deal with serious crimes.
Again, here I have to put it in context. You know, Sierra Leone went through 10, 11 years of war. We had the collapse of institutions. The court's mandate was very limited, and we are based on voluntary contributions. So we could not have done it all by ourselves. So the contribution of the Special Court was limited to areas that Sierra Leone could not have benefited from had it not been the presence of the Special Court. So we identified those areas. For instance, the national judiciary, there are skills needed in the area of interpretation, in the area of records management, in the area of digital recording of proceedings. You talk about the National Archives. Again, they need significant assistance. You talk about the police. Training police prosecutors up to acceptable standards was only done by the Special Court Prosecutor's Office. So you talk again about detention area. Over 150 prison guards that belong to the national system were seconded to the Special Court, and they worked alongside international detention supervisors. Then, you know, you talk again about security. Over, I would say, 200 national security officers are served in the Special Court. So this partnership started since day one, not to mention the staff, as I had mentioned earlier, who are interacting in areas of court management. Now we have nationals who, you know, have significant experience in court management. You talk about information technology. So the whole spectrum of international justice, we have acquired those skills. The one single institutional contribution we are doing, in addition to everything I've said, is about the witness protection. This is extremely important, because if Sierra Leone is aspiring to prosecuting high-profile crimes, you have to have the system in place to protect witnesses. You have to have a legal aid system in place. So yes, we have contributed significantly in areas that are relevant to the Special Court, again with the caveat that some of these reforms preceded the Special Court.
You have very successfully captured this relationship between development actors and international justice actors. This is what we are here at the Green Tree to discuss. How can the principle of complementarity be implemented? What is it that you expect out of this meeting?
What I expect out of this meeting is a further clarity on the link between development and transitional justice. To our minds, the link is very clear. However, I think further clarity is needed. A lot of what I do is fundraising for the Special Court. And you talk to donors, most of them, you can never access funds earmarked for development, because in their minds, there's a clear delineation a separation of development goals and international justice goals. So I think the significance of the Green Tree conference here is, I'm hoping that we'll be able, and I'm confident in fact, that we will be able to come out with concrete actions as to how to further clarify these goals, how to further link the development and justice, because they are interlinked, and I'm very pleased that we are having these discussions here. Because again, I have always made the argument, even before ICC Kampala, that you cannot have a sustainable development if your justice system is in trouble. Once it is further established, the next challenge is, how do you let that translate at the policy level? Because it's not going to mean anything if policymakers do not see the link.
Binta Mansouri, it's been a great pleasure having you as a guest on ICTJ podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.